G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. I'm going to read the scripture from Psalm 105. But you turn to Proverbs and then I'll catch up with you there. But in Psalm 105, I've read this out the last three Sundays, and so this is the fourth time I'm reading it out. And I believe this will be the final part of this series that I've done about living in supernatural health. And the title is very deliberate. It's not about healing, it's about health. It's living at that new level where we don't have to wait till we get sick before we can receive healing. We can actually live in supernatural health. When symptoms are coming on, we can eradicate those things before they take root in our life, and we can just enjoy them. And God's will for us is to go to that and to go even beyond that. In Psalm 105, it talks about how God sent Moses, his servant, Aaron, whom he had chosen, and they performed his signs among the Egyptians and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also in their fig trees and splintered the trees of their territory. He spoke and locusts came, young locusts without number, and ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. Mate, you would think that you'd get the message, wouldn't you? When you think about these supernatural things that were happening in this short period of time, and every time before it was happening, Moses would confront the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. If you don't, then frogs are going to come through that. If you don't, all the waters are going to turn into blood. If you don't, there's going to be hail, and it's going to destroy your crops. And every time Pharaoh would harden his heart, he would say, no, I'm not going to let him go. That would come to pass. You'd think you'd get the message. And then he didn't. Then finally, the Lord said to Moses, this one last time, this is the last time you're going to go to him. Tell him if he doesn't let my people go, all the firstborn of the land will die. And Pharaoh decided, no, I don't believe. Why wouldn't you believe? And even for most of his place, Israel was not affected. The land they lived in, this one area called Goshen, and they were not affected by the things that were happening with the rest of Egypt. You would be thinking, this is supernatural. Anyway, it goes on and it says, he also destroyed the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength, and he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. So they were finally let go, and they came out wealthy, rich, but they came out healthy. And this is a supernatural thing that had happened. Because there were 2 to 3 million people, that's estimated. And there would have been people that were living in Israel in that day who were the victims of heart attacks and the victims of blood diseases and the victims of all sorts of different things. And yet, when they listened to what the Lord said and it was time for them to leave, supernaturally they were restored to full health so that there was not a single person who was feeble. And they walked out, every one of them, even those who were wheelchair bound and bed bound, who had been maybe for years unable to do things. Yeah, supernatural. And the reason I've brought that to our attention is just to point out these were recipients of an inferior covenant to you and I. And if they could enjoy health when they listened to the Lord, how much more should you and I be able to enjoy these things? So I hope that I have been stirring you up If it doesn't stir you up and you battle with physical conditions, then I'd probably suggest to you that there's an area of hardness in your heart. You can get all offended as much as you want to be. I don't mind. Not that I want you to be offended, but I want you to be stirred up. I'm not happy as your pastor if I see you and you haven't changed from one year to the next. And you shouldn't be happy either. If you're looking at your life and you can't see any difference between your life this year and 12 months ago, I'm not pleased. And I'm talking to the Lord. Lord, am I missing it somewhere? Is there something more I need to be doing? My messages come from my time with God because I believe I hear from Him and I present what He tells me to. I was trying to feel like my tablet is filled with hundreds of messages. My computer's full of thousands and thousands of studies. And then I've got like multiple thousands of journals that I've filled up with studies because over the last 10 years I've gradually gone digital. But before I was digital, I was doing everything by hand. So I've got like thousands and thousands of studies, pages that I've written, and then the last 10 years I've gone digital, so it's all on my computer. In the last like probably 4 years I've had a tablet, so there's a number of them that I've read, you know. It's very rare for me to re-preach a message. I do that sometimes. I really enjoy getting fresh matter. And the only times that I reprint something is when I've heard to stick with what I want to disappear. And then usually there's a few bad bits in there because it's been a few years since I preached it, so like there's new revelation, new things that God's given me and stuff. But I hope that you're growing. I hope that even what over the last few weeks has been stirring you up to expect to live in supernatural power. Now, if you suffer from different sorts of conditions, that is not it's not a frown from me against you or even from God. And don't be embarrassed or ashamed about that. Things happen. We live in a broken world. And there's brokenness in you and there's brokenness in them. And we're all learning and we're all growing. Things can go wrong. You can get symptoms that will come onto you. But my aim is to stir you up that you're not just thinking, well, I'm just going to have to be it. The doctor said there's nothing they can do and I'm just going to have to live out the rest of my life like this. The doctors don't know everything. They're doing the best that they can. But you don't have to live like that. If you're not living a totally healthy life, then I hope this is stirring you up to expect that and to begin to desire that and to want that. You may need to listen over these messages again. They will be up on the website. I know Andrew's edited the first three, so I'll get them up later today, and then part four will get up here a week. Hallelujah. But there's no shame or embarrassment if you suffer from things, if you get a cold or flu, or you've got something worse that's happening to you. You don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed about that, but be angry.
Yes.
Be irritated. This is not right. I'm the Son of God. It shouldn't be happening to me. It should be a stirring thing. You know, and if you've had some things that have been there for years and years and years, I hope this is stirring you up. Not that you're angry at God, but that you're angry at the situation. You just tolerate it for so long. So I think it was Kevin Copeland that was talking about how he was in the foyer he was at a convention. I think he was one of the speakers, but he wasn't the only speaker. But this big black lady was storming out. She'd come out of the auditorium and she's walking through the foyer and she's storming and you can just tell, don't get in your way. She just looked, had that real serious look, and she's muttering under her breath and she's saying, 2,000 years? My healing's been paid for and I just found out about it. And that's how we would be, amen? We would be like that. No, this belongs to us. It's been settled. At Calvary, it's settled. It belongs to you and it belongs to me. God is pleased when we live a long, fruitful life.
Amen.
In fact, you won't achieve your mission, you won't fulfill it, unless you're healthy. Amen?
Amen.
That's why it's important for us to be as angry as. So let me recap a couple of things, and I do want to round this up today, so I want to get on to some things that God brought up last week to talk about. So we've seen how healing is a byproduct of just allowing the Word of God to be our problem in our lives. Are you a Proverbs fool?
Yes.
Yeah. So you see there in verse 20, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their faith." So notice, it doesn't actually tell us, do this in order to get healed. Do this in order to prosper. It's just saying, just give my word attention. Incline your ear to it. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Don't let it depart from your sight. And if you do that, the byproduct of that is going to be life, which is prosperity, success, and health. And the word health in the original Hebrew is medicine. It becomes medicine. The word will produce health for your body. And it'll produce success in whatever it is that God's calling you to do. It will do, and it's a natural byproduct. You know what a byproduct is? A byproduct is something that is produced by doing something else. And you don't even have to produce the byproduct. It just comes as a result. Let me give you an example. I used to work in a cabinet-making factory. So I was still the cabinet makers, and they used to make like kitchens, wardrobes, and all sorts of things, working with wood. And I was a cleaner. I was going through Bible college, and I was working as a cleaner part-time. I would go after college and clean there. You know, the byproduct of working with wood and shaping it and cutting it and stuff was sawdust and wood chips. They didn't get around at the start of every day saying, "Man, I hope we get some sawdust today. I hope we get some wood chips today." If you work with wood, you'll understand that. Pete understands that. I don't know, Andrew, he's been building these massive, luxurious, resort-style cubby houses for his boys. But that's just a byproduct. When you work with wood and you're cutting it to shape, you're cutting it to length, and you're doing different things, the byproduct of that is sawdust and wood chips. It comes as a result of working with wood. If you're someone who has a business where you process chickens or poultry, a byproduct of that is feathers. You're going to be surrounded with feathers. You don't have to hope, "Man, I hope we get some feathers today." No. If you're processing poultry, you will get feathers as a natural result. And the byproduct of just giving your attention to the word is health and success. That's what this scripture says. When you give it your attention, when you incline your word, your ear to his sayings, when you keep it in the midst of your heart, when you don't let it depart from your eyes, it just becomes success. And it becomes health. But let me put it to you like that. That's when you give the Word of God your attention to do with health, the byproduct will be health. When you give success, prosperity, your attention, it becomes. You know, there are lots of people who are sticklers for the Word. I'm thinking about people in mainstream churches. They love the Word of God. They don't believe in healing, and they don't believe in prosperity, and they don't experience any of that. Right? God can only bless according to our faith. And so, as we give the Word our attention regarding our health, the byproduct will be health. And it'll just come. It's effortless, supernatural living and supernatural health. The byproduct of giving, you know, when we give the Word our attention regarding prosperity, just do it to the prosperity. You don't even have to try. It's been years and years, it's been probably at least 10 years, or close to 10 years, that I've ever asked the Lord for money. I don't need to. I've just found that when I do what he wants me to do, it just produces whatever I need to get the job done, and then some. And so these things. So we've talked about that. The byproduct, healing is a byproduct of giving the word of God attention. Another big thing that we've really focused on, particularly over the last two Sundays, or probably the first 3 months, is we need to change the way we think.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to enjoy supernatural health. We need to change the way we think and become fully persuaded that healing is something that belongs to us. You possess it. And recall, you know, like I talked about, you need to know that healing is yours, like, you know, like your car is yours.
That's right.
Or your wallet is yours, or your handbag is yours. You need to know that it's yours. You're not going to allow someone to just go and fiddle with your handbag or touch your car, someone you don't know. You're not just going to stand idly by watching that happen. You will challenge it because, you know, that's mine. What are you doing? I didn't ask you to touch that. Why are you even touching it? Why are you even going near that? And you need to know that healing belongs to you in that same way. So that's to do with changing the way you think. Some people just think, like, it would be a real blessing if I could be healthy. Well, it is a blessing to be healthy, but it's also your redemptive right. Jesus paid a high price for you and I to enjoy that, and he expects us to enjoy it. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Another big thing we talked about is don't allow your senses to dictate to you what you can and can't do. Right? Your body is not the final authority. Your body doesn't always tell you the truth. Your body will tell you facts. You don't deny those facts. Fact may be that you're in pain. Fact may be that it's hard to do certain things. But that's not the final authority. Because Jesus said the word of God is the truth. So the fact may be that you're in pain. But the truth is that he carried our pain.
Yep.
And so we give the truth our attention. We don't give our senses, you know, the preeminence that allows to dictate. Hallelujah. So what I want to talk about today is I want to really explore this issue about why do healings take some time? Why is it sometimes where it takes time for a healing to manifest? You've heard me share some stories, and I'll remind you of some of those in just a few moments, where I've received a healing over the space of a few days. I've received a healing over the space of a few weeks. And then there's been other times I've received a healing over the space of a couple of minutes, or some other times it's been a healing that's been instantaneous. Why is there a difference in the time? And I want to explore that. I believe what I'll share with you will give you some understanding. This is certainly this understanding this, what I'm going to share with you, is something that really changed my life. And there's so many applications. I'm just going to look at it in relation to healing, but it can be applied in a multitude of ways. And I would encourage you to meditate this out and read what the Word has to say about it, because I believe God will show you more to do with it. Yeah, the most common answer of why is there a delay sometimes in healing, why is there a delay? The most common answer that I found is that we say, well, God is the cause of the delay. He's the one who's holding up the works. So I remember talking to one lady, and she said, well, she needed, there was certain conditions in her body that she was struggling with, and she needed some things to change it. And anyway, she got some surgery. And I was talking to her, and she said, look, you know, I just believe, you know, like God was leading me, and I went into surgery. And I said, well, okay. I said, that's right. She said, well, I know that you believe in healing. And I said, yeah. I said, well, I've got to these doctors as well. And she said, yeah, well, I mean, I did pray for healing, and obviously it wasn't God's will for me to heal, because I already get healed. Now, there's real problems if you have that sort of approach. If you think, okay, God, if you want to heal me, you can heal me, so I'm asking you to heal me, and then you check yourself out, and you feel like, I don't feel healed, therefore it wasn't God's will for me to heal. If you think that, then you are doing the wrong thing going to a doctor. Because you're saying it was not God's will for me to heal, so why are you going to a doctor? There's real issues, problems with that. But a lot of people tend to think, well, I'm doing it. That's what she was saying. Well, I did my part. I asked him. He didn't heal me. That's why I went to the doctors. And so they tend to blame God. Well, God, it's something he decided for whatever reason. people will say things like, well, you know, I guess God's just working something out, you know, maybe he's trying to teach me something. Maybe that's why there's a delay. I haven't learned what I needed to learn, and so that's why it's taking some time. It's just in his perfect timing. That's another one that I've often heard. I'm just waiting on the Lord. In his time, I'll be well. Or I've heard some people say, well, you know, it's making me stronger. You know, this is strengthening me. There's problems with all of those, and I hope you don't have it. And if you do, then you need to change the way you think. God is never the cause of delay. Thank you, Lord. I said God is never the cause of delay. He is never, ever the cause of delay. He will never use it to try to teach. Well, he'll never try to put you through that to try to teach you something. You may go through it and learn some things, but that's not his desire. You can learn without having to go through sickness.
Amen.
He's not going to put you through that to strengthen you. That's the same as a parent who poisons the food of their child or puts some sort of contagious disease. They get a sample of it and they spike the food and they put it in there, and their kid's ill and they get the treatment. And the child finds out the parents did it, and the child says, why did you do that, Mum? Well, I want you to learn something. I mean, we are just repulsed to think that any parent would dare even consider doing that. And if the authorities found it, they would lock them up. Why do we give God the exception to that? God is exactly the same. He's our Heavenly Father. He's not going to do things like that. That sense of right and wrong you and I have come from him. He is never, ever the cause of delay. He does not want to use sickness to try to teach you something. He will love you rather learn while you're healthy. He's not waiting for you to learn something. He's not waiting for the perfect time before you get healed. And he's not going to use those things to try to strengthen you and stuff. That's not the reason why. And let me prove that to you, because I've made some pretty strong statements there. And there's lots of things I can prove, but just two simple ones because I want to move on really quickly. Number one, Jesus, his ministry on the earth, proves what I'm saying. Because not a single time, I mean, he healed multitudes. We can read many, many cases of healings in the Gospels. But not one single time did he ever stop and say, it's not your time. Not a single time when he ministered to people healing did he say, God's trying to teach you something, son. I would like to heal you, but my Father has shown me he's trying to teach you something. Not a single time. Multitudes healed. People coming up to him, touching him, receiving the healing, coming, pleading and saying, would you please lay your hands on him? Speak the word and I'll be healed. Speak the word, my servant, and I'll be healed. Not a single time did he stop and say, you know, I would do this, but I think this is going to strengthen you. If it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger anyway. That would be. So Jesus is proof. Because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He's proof of the perfect will of God. Because every single person that came to Jesus, he healed them without delay. He healed them right there and then. I think the longest anybody had to wait was a matter of minutes. I'm thinking about the lepers when they came to him and they said, please heal us. And he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And it says, as they went, they got healed. It's probably going to be a matter of maybe 10, 15 minutes. So if he is an example, if he said that he is an example of the heart of God, that shows us God is never the cause of delay. God's will, Jesus demonstrated God's will was to be. Really, if God had his way in you and I wouldn't even have a symptom for a nanosecond. If God had his way in your life and in my life, we would not even get a sniffle. We wouldn't even get, not even for a millionth of a second, a billionth of a second, would we have these things. So how is it that we get these things? Because God doesn't always have his way. In your life anymore. There are many times we just choose to do what we feel like doing. Many times when the Lord's put on our heart to do certain things, we've made a promise, and he's reminded, oh, you told me that this is what you would do, and we don't do it. Yet God still loves us. He's not frowning at us. Those things harden our heart and make it difficult for us to receive what he wants to try to give us. But the more we allow him to have his way in our life, the more we're going to see his will manifest. And that includes in the area of healing. Another quick proof, too, about this, about how God is never the cause of delay. Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, you pray, your will be done on earth as it is where?
Yeah.
Is there sickness in heaven?
No.
Is there anybody with symptoms in heaven?
No.
Everybody like with a maybe a sore throat?
No.
Slight headache?
No.
And Jesus said, we can pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If there's no sickness in heaven, and that's his will, then his will is for there to be no sickness. So you're not waiting for God to do anything. His will is for you and I to be perfectly free of these things. Right here and
there. Amen.
So why does it take longer? Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. I've shared the story about how, I think it was around about 2008, I had this discoloration on my skin, a little spot, this big. I didn't know what it was. Joy was the one who actually saw it. She said, what is that? And I said, I don't know, you know, she took it and brought it out. Isn't that funny? God is just like, this. Guys and girls are so different. Give you one quick example of the difference with another girl. If a girl is putting toothpaste on their brush and it falls in the sink, they'll scoop it and wash it down the sink. But if a guy does that, he'll just get the brushes.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
You're on your own there, mate.
But I had this little spot in 2008, and I didn't know what it was, and I didn't take it out. Whatever it is, it doesn't hurt. And she looked at it and she said, I think that's a fungal infection. And I said, is that back? She said, well, she said, you can get ointment to fix it. And I said, so is it bad? She said, oh, that makes sense. All right. So I think just and a group probably the size of my hand. And then I began to really notice it. And it was, it was this dark spot. It wasn't like black, but it was quite dark. And it was kind of different shades of dark. So then I thought, yeah, I don't have to have this. And it doesn't sound like this is life-threatening, but this is a great opportunity for me to use my faith. Learn to let my faith and direct my faith. So I just spoke to him. I said, thou thing. I said, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. I command you to die. I said, from this moment, you will recede, and you'll shrink, and you'll disappear. Get off it. That's all I did. Anyway, the next day, after my shower, I dried myself, I looked in the mirror, and it's still there. You know, that's going to see. Anyway, I've shared this story, so I don't want it. But this thing actually grew over the next few months. So it was like a real challenge to, because the enemy works in your head, doesn't it? You're like, oh, you know, like, did you really work? It didn't work. Well, look, I mean, if it worked, why is it growing? Why is it getting worse? So, but anyway, I kind of knew the principles of faith, so I just, now, as far as I'm concerned, this thing is dead. Took about 10 or 12 months. And I don't know exactly when, but it's just like one day, it was 10 or 12 months later, I was drying myself, and I looked, and there wasn't even a spot. Yet this thing had grown to half the, like covering half of my chest. So I don't know when it started to recede, because eventually I came to a place where I was so convinced in myself that this was no longer an issue, I didn't even bother looking at it. And so it was like 10 to 12 months later, I looked and it was completely gone. So I said, yeah, that's exactly it. It's not like I didn't look and go, yeah, what happened?
No.
I expected it to work.
Yes.
In fact, when I looked at it and I saw it was gone, I was going,
yeah.
I just went on the leg. Anyway, 10 years later, just this year, I got again this discoloration, but this time it was even worse because there was this itching that it was like tinea on my chest. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was scratched, like I woke up because I'd been scratching myself in my sleep. And I thought, whoa, what's this going on? And then I stopped and it was just insanely itchy and this thing began to spread. And I realized it's something similar because it was discolored. But I never experienced this itching I'd never experienced, except when I had tenure in between my toes years and years ago. It was insane. It was so bad. I was trying not to itch, but it would keep me away because it was like, my body was going, just scratch it, please. It was weird. Anyway, but I did the same thing. I just spoke to it, I cursed it, commanded it to leave. 6 weeks later, it was completely gone. The first time it took 10 to 12 months. The second time it took 6 weeks. Why did it take shorter the second time? And why didn't it happen instantly if we understand that Jesus was the perfect will of God? He demonstrated that. That's where we're going. That's what I want to explore with you. You know? And there's something instant. I remember when I pinched a nerve, you know, and I got rushed to the hospital. We were actually doing youth at the previous church where we were associate pastors. And Joy rushed because I couldn't stand it. I couldn't see it. I was just in pain. And the hospital looked me over and they said, you've pinched a nerve. This is really serious. They said, you're going to be bedridden for at least 6 weeks, possibly 8 weeks. You're not allowed to move. Don't think about going back to work. And they said, that's what it is. And they gave me these painkillers. They said, look, these are some extra strong painkillers that really help you kind of cope. And, you know, when I left the hospital, I said, John, I am not staying in bed for 6 weeks. I said, believe with me. I'm believing God that I can be back at work within 7 days. She said, oh, I believe with you. Why couldn't I believe for instantaneous? I just wasn't there yet. I'm just being honest with you. I wasn't there yet. I couldn't see that in my imagination. The pain was just so ferocious and so big, and I'm still living growing in this. I'm not saying I'm alive now, but you know. But I could imagine myself within a week. Well, I didn't recover within a week. It wasn't a week. It was 8 days. But 8 days later, I was back at work. That's a lot better than 6 day weeks. So that was wonderful. Then about 10 years later, in 2017, I had the same thing. It was really bad. This was probably worse. It was probably as bad, but like, I didn't have painkillers. This time. We were overseas. And I was meant to drive. I had to drive from San Diego to Los Angeles. I couldn't sit. It was just constantly a pain. Anyway, but I used my faith, I spoke to it, I commanded those nerves to be unpinched and unhindered. And I commanded healing to manifest. And within 24 hours, my healing manifested. I was completely free of pain. Now that's a lot better than 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But why did it take even 24 hours? Can you see?
Yeah.
Moving on. Even with the Eddies, we were fellowshipping with them last week, and they were talking about their healings that they experienced in their family, and how often they used to get sick, and how long it would last, and yeah, you can ask them. I'm not putting words in their mouth, but how in their own profession now the sickness, the periods of time between getting sick is getting greater and greater. So they're getting sick far less often, and when these symptoms come, they go much more quickly than what they used to.
Yes.
But God's perfect will is instantaneous. And what is it that causes the delay? So that's where we're going. So I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll look at a couple of scriptures. I've got some diagrams I'm going to put up in a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, give me an order there. Praise the Lord. So it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice that Paul says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The key to understanding this whole concept of why does it take time, you know, okay, I've shared improvements in Peter Jules and their family, how they've seen improvement, but it's still not in a place where it's instantaneous all the time. And even in my own life, there's been improvements, but it's still not always instantaneous. And the key to understanding that is understanding spirit, soul, and body, and what's going on with that. So we'll get a first diagram up, thanks, Andrew. So I've got up there the trichotomy. And trichotomy just means three parts of man. This scripture shows us that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. There's three parts to you. And I've got this circle that's up there on the screen. And there's three kind of equal parts, a spirit, a soul, and a body. Some people are not even aware of that, right? But it's becoming more aware of not only what that is and how does that impact you, what is happening at the different levels. So we'll go to the next one. The spirit, the soul, I should say, is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay? And I don't want to talk, there's a lot more I can say about all of those things, and if you want to know more, you'll have to talk to me on the side of it. We'll go to the next one. The spirit is that part of you that's God-conscious. The soul is that part of you that's self-conscious, because that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your body is that part of you that's world-conscious. Without a physical body, you would not be able to interact with any other material things in this world. That's why, demons, they're disembodied spirits. They look possessed because they're living in a physical world, but they're spirits. They cannot interact unless they have possession of some sort of body. So we'll go to the next one. And so then your spirit, because it's God-conscious, it's that part of you that relates to God. Your soul, because it's self-conscious, it's that part of you that relates to others. And your body, it's that world-conscious part that relates to the environment around you. So that's just kind of an idea. Now that's one diagram. There's no perfect diagram. There's numbers of different diagrams to try to illustrate spirit, soul, and body. But I want you to get some understanding about the different parts, because I want to explain and get to the point about why is manifestation taking longer and how does this impact us. So we'll go to the next one. Here's another diagram. There's three concentric circles. The inner circle is spirit. The next circle is your soul, and then the outer one is your body. So sometimes the scripture talks about your innermost being. That's your spirit. And that's represented by that inner circle. Your inner being is your soul. And your outermost being, or your shell, or your tent, as the scripture talks about, that's your body. You are not a body. You live in a body. You will live without this body. You know, if I was to collapse right now and die, my spirit, my soul would come out of my body.
Yeah.
It'd be just like you taking off your coat and you let it go and it falls lifeless to the ground. Why? Because you're not in it anymore. When a person's spirit and soul come out of their body, it's just like that coat. It doesn't move anymore because you're not in it.
Right.
And so your spirit and soul, so your spirit is that part that relates to God, your soul is the part that relates to others. We're looking at the different parts, but in reality, they're actually very fused. Okay? There's very few things that can actually separate your spirit and soul. The Word of God is one of those things. That's why you ever had instances where you thought God said something to you, but you weren't sure? Is that God or is that me? Anybody ever?
Yeah.
You're trying to differentiate, is that my soul? Is that my mind? Or is that my spirit? Because God is the spirit. Right? And the Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God can cut right through the division of the soul and the spirit. As you give the word your attention, you begin to discern the difference between your thoughts and God's thoughts. So we'll keep that there for a little bit. I want you to look at first at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Second Corinthians 5:17. Give me a word when you're there. Alright, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, some things have become new. Is that right?
Aye.
No, what does it say? All things, okay. So if anyone is in Christ, hands up if you're in Christ. Awesome, I believe that's everyone. It says if anyone is in Christ, that includes you, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, how many things have become new? All things. What if you become a Christian and you're 85 years old? Are you a new creation?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. If you're 85, does that mean some of you look like you're 12 again? No. Is that right? It's not a trick? No. You still look the same. So in other words, when you come to Christ, your body's not changed. Many people that have physical conditions or illnesses and stuff, when they come to Christ, they've still got those things. Yet this scripture says, old things have passed away, all things have become new. How come your body hasn't changed if all things have become new? In fact, if you remember to when you came to Christ, I don't know how long ago, for some of you it might have been a few years ago, some of you could have been years and years ago. You probably would have, if you recall that, you were thinking a lot of the same sort of thoughts that you were always thinking. You were thinking your old ways. There were some new thoughts. It was like maybe there was this euphoric feeling that you knew Jesus was in you. That was certainly my case. But I still had old habits and old ways of thinking. So in other words, my soul hadn't changed. My body hadn't changed. And the same is with you. Yet this scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. How are we to understand that? Like, I would read that as a young Christian thinking, well, not everything's new with me. Did I get like a half-baked salvation? Maybe it didn't cook properly. Maybe there's something missing. I got cheated. God didn't give me the full package. No. It's understanding spirit, soul, and body, and that the Bible primarily talks about your spiritual condition. If you don't understand that, you will misunderstand so many things in the scriptures. This is talking, because the Bible is primarily talking about your spiritual condition, unless it qualifies it otherwise, this is talking about your spirit. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation in your spirit. All things in your spirit have passed away. Behold, all things in your spirit have become new. What has become new? Everything in your spirit has become new. Jesus has come in by the Holy Spirit. He's come into your spirit. He hasn't come into your body. He hasn't come into your soul. He's come into your spirit and he resides. It says if anyone is in Christ, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6, 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is one spirit with him. Yeah, he who is joined to the Lord, I should say, is one spirit with him. When you become a child of God, you are joined to the Lord. And when you're joined to the Lord, you become one spirit. Do you realize your spirit and the spirit of Jesus look identical?
Praise God.
I'll prove it. You don't have to believe that because if that's the first time you're hearing anything like that, that sounds like, no, that's just over the top. I'll prove that to you. This is not my opinion. This is in the scriptures. You could write these down because we're not going to have time to look them up, but it would be worth your while to look them up. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Write that down. I'm going to read it to you. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. First time I read that. It says, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. I thought, I didn't know that. But that, it says, you know all things. And I thought, I don't know everything. What was I doing? I was searching my soul. I was searching my mind. I don't know all things in life. I couldn't remember where my keys were. I left them in the same spot I always. I don't know all things because I forgot to do what I promised I was going to do. How can I know all things? See, I'm getting into my soul and my body and forgetting that the scriptures are primarily speaking about your spirit. In my spirit, I know all things. Why? Because I'm a new creation.
Yeah.
Why? Because I'm joined to the Lord and I'm one spirit with Him. My spirit and the spirit of Jesus are identical. Didn't hear any amens there.
Amen.
Sounds like a big thing to swallow, doesn't it? I'm going to show you more scriptures. This is not my opinion. This is what the Word says. 1 John 4:17. You can write that down. Look it up in your own time. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we with in this world. As He is now. So He's in heaven right now, is that right?
Yep.
It says, as He is, so are we in this world. Is He victorious?
Yes.
So are we. Is He without sin?
Yes.
So are we in this world. Is He undefeated? So are we in this world. Is He holy? So are we in this world. Is He without blame? So are we in this world. Now some of you sit there thinking like, I'm not holy. What are you doing? You're going into your soul. You're going into your body. You're forgetting that this was written primarily about your spirit. In the spirit, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything in your spirit has become brand new. You're joined to the Lord. You're one spirit with Him. You know all things. And just as He is right now, so are you. Can you see how these all match in? And this is not my opinion. It's just having the boldness and the honesty to say, this is what the Word of God says. Even though I don't see this working in my life, this is what it says. This is the truth. And stop looking for it in your soul. You won't find it in your mind, your will, your emotions. You won't find it in your body. You will find it in your spirit. All of these things have been put in your spirit. Now, it says, as He is, so are we in this world. Is that right?
Yes.
Is He healthy?
Yes.
So are we in this world. Oh, Pastor Les, I couldn't say that. The doctors told me I have a condition. See, you're going back into your body again. Stay in the Spirit. That's why the Scripture says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll find if you stay in the Spirit, what's in your spirit will flow out of your spirit, into your soul, and into your body, and bring the change. You're not waiting for God to heal you. He's already put the healing within you, because as He is, so are you.
Amen.
All you've got to do is just getting your soul, which is your mind, to agree with the mind of Christ.
Yes.
If we go back to the previous diagram, Andrew, see, soul, spirit, body over there, right now, everything's being done in your spirit. Do you realize there's nothing more that's going to happen to your spirit if you're a child of God? When you go to heaven, your spirit will be unchanged. If you suffer from depression, if there's days where you've got the blues, it's only because you've gone into your soul. Because from the day that you were born again, your spirit has never been depressed. Because as He is. Is He depressed?
No.
So is. You've never been defeated. That since the day you gave your life to Christ, your spirit has never been defeated. Your spirit has never, ever sinned. Since the day, well, you can probably sit there going, well, Pastor Les, I know that that's not true now. I know that I sin. Write this down. You can look this up in your own time. 1 John 3:9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I remember I used to read that and I would sweat. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. I sin, therefore I can't be born of God. That's what I've been thinking. But what was I doing wrong? I was getting into my body, in my soul. My spirit is just like Jesus.
Amen.
My spirit doesn't sin anymore. I might sin in my body. I might sin in my thought life, in my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotion. But my spirit doesn't sin. My spirit cannot sin because it's joined to the Lord. I'm one spirit with Him. And just as He is, so am I in this world. And so 1/3 of of what God wants to do in your life that's in your spirit is complete. It's right through the scriptures. If you read it with this prayer, so many things will make sense to you. I'm coming to the place so you can get understanding of why is there delays. Everything you need has already been deposited in your spirit. All the healing you'll ever need. Because as He is, so are you in this world. All the wisdom that you ever need. Is He full of wisdom?
Yes.
Scripture says, as He is, so are you in this world. That means you're full of wisdom. That's why it says, you are of God. You've got anointing from the Holy One, you're of God, and you know all things. Because all the wisdom that you need has already been put with you. But we don't want it to stay in our spirit. We need that wisdom. See, I know everything in my spirit, but I want it to get into my soul, because when I can't remember where my keys are, I can't remember that detail. My spirit knows, but my soul has the problem. Well, we want that healing that's in my spirit. I want that to flow into my body. I want it to manifest. This is what we're doing. The whole point of the Christian life is learning how to get. Go back to that. It's learning how to get, when our spirit is complete, it's learning how to get our soul and our body into agreement. If we can just get one of those into agreement with our spirit, we've got a majority.
Amen.
And the best way to do that is get your soul, get your mind to agree with what the Word says, not what your body's saying. Get your mind to agree with what the Word says, not what your finances or your bank balance is saying. Get to agree with what the Word says about your family, not what you're seeing. Your family might be in strife. It could be no one's talking to each other and they haven't done in a long time. Well, what does the Word of God have to say about your family? Get your mind to agree, because your spirit already agrees with God.
Yes.
And when you do that, now your soul is agreeing with your spirit, and that's a majority, and the life of God in that area begins to flow. This is how change occurs in your life. And in life. This is how healing begins to flow. This is why it took 10 months for me to receive that healing. Why? Because my soul, my mind was saying, dude, you're not healed. Look, it's still there. And I think, no, I am healed. I am healed. But I wasn't used to staying in faith. So the next day I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, why hasn't it shrunk? It looks like it's growing. What did I need to do? I needed to renew my mind. I needed to change the way I think. And start agreeing with what God was thinking. I needed to stop allowing my senses to dictate to me what I could and couldn't do.
Amen.
And allow the Word of God to dictate to me what I could and couldn't do. Your spirit is identical to Jesus' spirit. And the more that we allow our minds to start flowing and agreeing with our spirit, the more we're going to see that life of God flow out of us. That's why I'm doing it better now than I used to do it. And you'll find that's one of the headings. Experience far greater success with healing and living in health than they have. But I've seen that. And for Jules, this was a big challenge for her. Because she works in the medical profession. Why is that a big problem? Because they train your mind that certain symptoms mean this, and a person exhibiting this, there's no change, this can't be fixed, and she had to try to renew her mind in those areas to agree with what God was saying in the Spirit. Can you see that? Can you understand that? The more you start changing the way you think in this area, you bring your soul into agreement with your spirit. Now you've got a majority. And the life of God will flow. The better you do that, the more it will flow. And God's will for you and I is for those to be in such agreement that we just experience instant results. His will for you is to never ever be sick. And if He had His way in your life and in my life, you and I would not exhibit a single symptom. So what's the key? Let Him have His way in your soul. Your spirit's already in agreement. Let Him have His way in your soul. Really, if we, there's another diagram that I've got, we'll go to that end. This is another way of looking at it, and this is a really cool way of looking at it, because the tap What you see with the tap, that's like your body, just the outer shell. The water that's coming out of the tap is your spirit, because the life is in the spirit. The healing's in the spirit. The prosperity, the wisdom, everything you need is in your spirit. That's the water. And what controls the flow of the water? It's the valve. That valve is your soul. That's why scripture is so, it talks about your thoughts, getting your thoughts in line. Remember Jesus said, you will know the truth. And the truth, you have to know it. So that's to do with your mind. That's why it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the objective in the Christian life is to learn how to open that tap. Because the more we can open that tap, the more the water will flow, which is the life of God. And so if you're experiencing results and it's taking a long time for some of those results, it's only because you haven't learned how to open the tap. And how do you learn to open the tap? Start changing the way you think. If there's an area of your life that you're not happy with and you know it's not God's will, start reading. What does the Word of God have to say? Your spirit already agrees with it. But get your mind, your will, your emotions to agree with what the Word has to say instead of what the circumstances are saying. And you begin to find that tap is opening more and more and it starts flowing. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of that?
Yes.
Maybe. Let's stand up. This is really exciting. There's so many applications in this. I mean, we've just talked about it with regard to healing, but it's everything. It's with wisdom. It's with prosperity. Really, it's a revelation of who you are in Christ. You know, and it's one of the things I would encourage you: meditate on this, listen over these things. Keep the tap open by thinking differently, talking differently, and acting differently. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Lord, let's just pray in the Spirit for a moment. Scarab, 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 thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, I want to lead you in a confession today because it's all about opening that tap. So I want to lead you in a confession. And this may not be exactly the way you say it, but it could be expressing some of the sentiments in your heart. So just repeat after me. God hears your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that everything has been completed in my spirit. I am a new creation. That's not my opinion. That's what your word says. Old things have passed away. All things have become new in my spirit. And because of that, I know all things. And I am just like Jesus. Because I'm one spirit with him. Because I'm joined to him. I am righteous. Because as he is, so am I as well. I am holy because I'm just like him. I'm undefeated. I'm victorious. I'm without spot and blemish. I'm loved absolutely. And Lord, I make a decision this day. I'm going to cooperate with your Holy Spirit. And I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to start allowing my mind to flow in agreement with your word. I'm going to make decisions with my will that agree with your word. I'm going to harness my emotions that reflect your word. In Jesus' name. And you're going to help me, Holy Spirit. And I'm going to see this tap open. And I'm going to experience transformation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give me praise.